Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCB Radio. This is the beginning of the new year, 2022. It's even the first Sunday of the year. Now, my hope and prayer for you for this new year is that the Holy Spirit will be able to speak to your heart, and we, and I'm including myself in this, more and more to open up our spirit to the Lord. My friend, this is a willful choice that we all must make. God will not force us. Oh, no, He won't. I kind of wish He would, but He won't. He will let us do as we wish and even repeat the same mistakes in 2022 that we made in 2021. Indeed, He is a very loving God. Now, our part in all of this is to love Him back by pushing away from the world and the world's thinking and the ways and push away from the love that we have for ourselves. Doing so, my friend, I promise that no matter what happens in 2022 and beyond, you will have a happy new year, and you will have something even greater than that. You will have a committed and dedicated life to Christ. Okay, let us go ahead and get back to the topic that we were discussing at the end of 2021, the baptism in the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts. Last week, we started looking at what the Scriptures, the inspired or the God-breathed Word that God had to say, not what the religious or denominational folks would say, or not even what you or I would say, but what does God's Word have to say? Because we know God's Word is the truth. So this week we will start in the book of Colossians, a verse that we have discussed a few times before. Colossians 2 and 10, Paul writes this, "For in Him," now Him is Jesus Christ, "dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Now when the Bible uses all, it means all. It doesn't mean some or a few, but it means all. It means everyone. "And you are complete in Him," Him again being Jesus Christ, "which is the head of," there's that word all again, "all principalities that are in heaven or earth and below the earth." And it ends in power, Colossians 2 and 10. Now the epistle to the Colossians was written by Paul for this very reason, to combat E-R-R. That would suggest that we are not, repeat, not complete in Christ. Please note, I did not use the term error, but E-R-R. My friend, there is a world of difference between and error. Error means to make an unintentional mistake. For example, putting salt in a pepper shaker or something like that. Something minor. But E-R-R, used three times in the King James Version, is much more harmful. To err is to willfully mislead someone for personal gain or influence. It is an intentional deception to the truth. Now, here is the key. It is a purposely choosing to deceive somebody. Wow. So, Satan is not in error. Oh, no. He is in error. Now, Paul emphasizes that point precisely because it is Christ in us that we are complete in Him. We were listening to a very well-known ministry in Louisiana, and they were talking about speaking in tongues, and then they got off track and started talking about how the gifts of the Spirit was different than the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and they went on, and, you know, I will be honest, they just confused me. So now that brought me to this point. Are they in error or are they in error? Well, sadly, I must say both. You know, you can be in spiritual error and preach and teach this error, as many denominations do, to the point that you get over into error. And we must take heed to the doctrines of God's Word, of the Bible, my friend, or we will get into trouble with God and lead many people into error. And if our heart is wrong, and we do it for money, for power, for influence, or following as many churches and denominations do, then we ourselves will be in error. I remember in 1996, when we moved to Stuttgart, Germany, the pastor of the Pentecostal church we were attending wrote this verse, 1 Timothy 4:16, in a card to me. Paul writes to Timothy, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." You know, the word doctrine lately has taken on a bad understanding, a bad rap. Today it's now all about our experiences that we have with Christ. But, you know, my friend, experiences are like the wind. It blows us from one place to the next, and it is emotional. It affects our feelings, and it has no soil to sink our roots into. You know, this verse has served me and all who have heard me very well through the years, and I thank my pastor for that. This brings us to a very important question. What does it mean to be complete in Christ? Seeing, or, well, most of all, would testify to the fact that we seem to be anything but complete, even as believers. Now, the Greek word for complete here in Colossians 2:10 means to be made full, to be complete, not lacking anything. Nothing too surprising here. And if you read the entire epistle of Paul, you will see that this is exactly what he wanted his readers to understand about Christ in them. He wanted them to know that in Christ they possess everything. Wow, everything. Because Christ is everything. He is our all and in all. He is our life. Practically, Paul tells the Colossians that they need not go anywhere else to find answers. They need not turn to the world's thinking or to the world's ways, but he wanted them to see even more than that. Now, Paul is addressing, I believe, to be some believers and some, you know, some would-be Christians and maybe even some heathens here. And as a part of this warning, it has to do with believers looking elsewhere for spiritual solutions. He wanted his readers to understand that because Christ is in us, then we have in us all that is in Christ. Let me say that again. Because Christ is in us, then we have in us all that is in Christ. Wow. Wow, in each believer, even though it is only a potential and must be developed, there is all that belongs to Jesus Christ in us. So then, what does belong to Jesus Christ? Well, plenty, my friend. Paul tells us that in Christ are all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, Colossians 2 and 3. We are told that in Christ is the fullness of God, Colossians 1 and 9 and 2 and 9. I would think that would be enough, the fullness of God, but wait, there's still more. In Christ there is victory over the flesh, Colossians 2 and 11 and 3 and 5. Victory over the enemy, Colossians 2:15, which is much more than just victory over the devil. And the power of the new birth, where all things are made new, all things are passed away. In the Greek, that all things passed away means all things that are passed over, and we see that in Colossians 3:10. These are the realities that are potentially ours in Christ if we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, please note that these are not merely things God gives us. Oh, no. God gives us Christ, and in Christ, in Him, are all of these things. Do you see that, my friend? As a matter of fact, every promise in the Bible Jesus has for us is only His intention. Jesus wants us to have every good and perfect gift. It is His intention. He wants to see us have them all. But whether we have them or not is not up to Jesus. It's not up to the Father, the Holy Spirit, our spouse, our friends, our pastors. Oh no. Whether we receive the things of God is up to us. Are we willing to do the things that God is looking for, or do we meet the conditions God has set forth to receive those precious promises? My friend, each promise found in the Bible, in the Word of God, has a condition we must meet to be able to walk in the reality of Jesus' intention in them for our lives. You know, I remember when my grandmother lived in West Virginia and she was alive, she had a promise box on her nightstand, and it was a little box with little cards. On one side of the card, it would have a verse, and on the other side of the card, it would have the promise. Well, each morning, faithfully, she would get up and she would pluck a card from the box, and she would read the verse and the promise. Well, that was good, but it did not meet God's intention and His requirement. To be able to receive the promise, we have to meet the condition, not just read the verse. For example, in Isaiah 1:19, we read, "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." The promise is, if ye shall eat, the good, you know, the good of the land. But the condition is, if ye be willing and obedient. I wonder which one God is looking at, the promise or the condition. Well, neither. He's looking at us to see if we have met the condition to be able to receive that promise. My friend, we need to be looking at what God is looking at. Amen? Next week we will go deeper into Colossians, but I want to make this point once again to keep our spirit pointed in the right direction. All of these things in Christ are not merely things God gives us. Oh no. God gives us Christ, and in Christ, in Him, are all of these things. More next week in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, hoping that you have a tremendous week, and tune in next week. God bless.